It's time for JT the Brick.
Raiders defense is no joke. The offensive line is good. The Raider defensive line is better. We all agree on that, right? Mad Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins, those guys are train wreckers.
There's definitely a little tinkering going on. We'll see, you know, what sticks, and we'll put, you know, the best version of our defense out there, you know, at the beginning of the season, and hopefully it keeps improving.
But our freaking D-line is nasty. The D-line of the Raiders is nasty the way it used to be.
JT the Brick.
But this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going into L.A. like Russell Crowe in Gladiator going into Rome. Okay, this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going to be like the movie Gladiator, leading everyone into Los Angeles. And he ain't joking.
And now...
Don't worry about our quarterback, buddy. Worry about yours.
Here's JT the Brick.
Welcome back, everybody. JT live from Raiders training camp in Costa Mesa as we continue hour number two of the show. And we're brought to you by Grimaldi's, the best pizza I ever had, thanks to Grimaldi's, proud partner of our show, as we're on the road in Costa Mesa for day one. I've been out here for 2 days doing shows, but it is day one here at the Costa Mesa facility. A really good practice today. Everybody's talking to the media. We'll have Max Crosby and his session at the podium coming up here in a few minutes. Levi Edwards, we made him an insider on our show last year. He knocked it out of the park. He's back again, Raiders digital reporter. Good to see you here in camp. I kind of like the change of venue here, and here we go. Another year for you. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I can't complain. I wouldn't say I knocked it out of the park, maybe like a grand double maybe. But
you did good.
Yeah, definitely just glad to be out here. Glad to be around some football. It's just so great to just be able to, you know, be out here on the grass and see how things go and really find out what this Raiders football team is going
to
look like.
What did you take away? Because you go to a lot more practices than I do. When you get on a practice field and you get a chance to see, and your head's on a swivel because you're watching special teams on one field and you're seeing the kickers and the defensive line, what did you see today that gives you encouragement that the Raiders got off to a good start in camp?
Really just the vibes. I know that's not a very football-specific question, mm-hmm. but just the music playing. You see guys dancing. You see guys loose. You see guys out here wanting to have fun. And that's what AP said. He said, we're going to play hard, and we're going to have fun. This is the game that we love. And you could just see it just with Devontae dancing, Mike Mayer stepping a move here and there, just stuff like that that you just notice. Like, it's the first day of camp. You're excited to be back. You want to play football. So that was just great to see.
I want to get into the quarterbacks with you because before we came back on air, I asked you, there's 11 practices here, and we have a couple in Vegas, right? Two open practices. From what I'm hearing, I can't believe the number of fans who have already RSVP'd to come to those. But with limited practices and the fact that there isn't a joint practice with the Rams or the Chargers, the Saints or the Cowboys, where are we with the sense of urgency? Because we already just knocked one practice down. From my math, there's 10 left before we jump into preseason games. What is the sense of urgency like?
I definitely say the sense of urgency is high. Obviously, these guys want to have fun, but at the same time, they're here to compete. Mm-hmm. They're here to earn jobs. And so when you have that, no matter what team it is, whether it's the Las Vegas Raiders or, you know, whatever high school football team, there's going to be competition. You want to come out and earn your role, earn your job. And so the sense of urgency is high, especially in that quarterback room, mm-hmm. because obviously they're trying to fight for who is going to lead this team throughout the season. And something that I liked that Devontae said today is it's not Gardner competing against Aiden. It's Gardner competing against Gardner, and it's Aiden competing against Aiden, and it's Devontae competing against Devontae. Everybody's out here just trying to get better and try to make their own name for themselves to prove that they belong on this team.
Levi Edwards is our guest, Raiders insider and digital reporter. So walk me through this quarterback competition. It's not a controversy yet, but you know the NFL media would love to make it one because it really is the only competition against two ones trying to vie for a job. I mean, Kirk Cousins and Justin Herbert and go around the league, Tua and Mahomes don't have a competition here. We have one within the Las Vegas Raiders. What should we be looking for at camp going into the preseason games? And how are you going to decipher who's playing better with the limited reps they're both going to get?
Well, really, it's all about efficiency. And in this a very unique position for me to be in as well, since I've been with the Raiders, I've never covered a quarterback competition. I don't really think there's been a quarterback competition with this football team since 2014. So it's new territory, and it's exciting territory to be in. When you look at these two quarterbacks, battling for this spot, you want to look at efficiency. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure, like, A, do you know the playbook? Do you know what to do? Because Luke Getsy doesn't necessarily have the most complex offense, but is one that is predicated around mobility, is one predicated around being at the right spots, being fast, right off the line of scrimmage. So I want to see that from both of these quarterbacks to see who can move a little bit better and who's going to be efficient, who's not going to, you know, turn over the ball and really be careful with the football when it's in their hands.
So I know you don't have the answer and I don't have the answer, but we're assuming, I believe I am, that they're going to play more than expected in the preseason. I know there's other backup quarterbacks here too, but, you know, one getting a quarter, the other getting a quarter, switching off again. I love the rehearsal when one of them goes through a seamless halftime and comes out and starts the third. Again, we don't know the answer here, but I'd like to see one of these quarterbacks gain momentum by having a couple of extra reps against some pretty good teams here. I mean, the Cowboys ones and the 49ers ones, along with Minnesota, are pretty good, but especially the games that are going to be at Allegiant Stadium.
Most definitely, and really when you look at it, these preseason games are going to have so much more meaning and so much more emphasis for the Las Vegas Raiders than they have in previous years, especially because of the fact that we don't have any joint practices mm-hmm. this year, so you can't, you know, bring in someone into your house or go somewhere else and really compete and see what you look like against another team in those really hard knocks, grueling practices. You have to rely on these preseason games to see what you got at quarterback, and so when you get out on the field, you know, this is going to be your one shot. And obviously you go through these practices and you're going up against your own defense and you know what they're going to look like. So these games are going to be the only opportunity we really get to see of them going up against someone in a legit competitive manner. And so they're going to be really vital. I know it's preseason and people just kind of like gloss over it, but I think this is going to be an extremely, you know, imperative preseason for the Raiders.
Levi Edwards is our guest live from Costa Mesa at Raiders training camp. I just spent some time with Jackson Powers Johnson and his mom. They were over there on the sideline here. I don't have an answer, nor do you, to the fans, of what's going to happen, precautionary or not, bringing him along with Colt Miller, who we know is coming off of surgery, and he looks to be okay. But those are two starters on the offensive line, and they missed a practice today. And we'll find out pretty quickly here how many more practices they're going to miss. But tell me about the depth of this offensive line, because it's much deeper than it was last year at this point in time. I think they know who they want to have as the five starters. But tell me about a little bit of depth if one or two players are going to have to play a little bit more in the preseason.
Most definitely. Obviously, you talk about JPJ, you know, being mm-hmm. a potential starter on this team, and he definitely, you know, second-round pick, has all the skills that you want, Remington Award winner. Yes, he has starter potential, and he can be the guy. At the same time, he needs to get the reps in. So, obviously, they want to be precautionary about it. That's the smart move. But he has to get on the field and get these reps sooner or later to see what we have in him and just get him ready for the preseason and for the regular season. When it comes to depth, though, I definitely think that this offensive line is one of the most underrated parts of this football team when you look at it, especially with Dylan Parham. You're moving him, you know, back over from left to right where he was more comfortable at Memphis and where he's been comfortable throughout his career. You have Thayer, who there's a lot of people that don't really know much about Thayer because he's been, you know, relegated kind of to a backup role since he's been here. But I think he's going to have a breakout camp. So Thayer Munford, if you're listening to this, that's one of my breakout picks. So when it comes to depth, definitely going to rely a lot more on Cody Whitehair for JPJ. He's also going to build him up well as a veteran. And you also have Andres Pete, who you brought in. That's a Pro Bowl tackle.
Yes.
You have a former Pro Bowl tackle as your swing tackle who can come in and get reps. That's a really great piece to have that people aren't talking about. So I really think this offensive line, in my opinion, is going to overperform what a lot of people think.
Levi Edwards, as we wrap it up, we'll have Levi on throughout camp every couple of days to get his update. All his content is living live at Raiders.com. I didn't have a chance today to watch the corners much. I'm counting on Eric Allen for all of that. What should we expect for the second corner? We know that Jack Jones is there, cornerback number one. Did you see anything today? Is something you're looking for to spotlight? Who's going to be battling it out for that number two starting cornerback?
JT, I'm going to be honest with you, man. We're paying all this attention to the quarterback competition mm-hmm. and how it's so neck and neck right now. But that second corner competition right now is so wide open. Ridiculously wide open, because you have Brandon Faison, who's the veteran who has come in, and he's going to be able to do what he can do. You have Jakorian, who has some rookie growing pains last year. Now he's coming back for a second season. He's looked like he's been impressive. And you got a young kid out here, D-Cam Richardson, fourth round pick mm-hmm. from Mississippi State. A lot of people don't know a whole lot about him yet, but this is a guy who's 6'2", long as hell, ran a 4.3 at the combine, can jump out the gym. Like, he is your prototypical what you would want out of a corner. And despite him being a rookie, he's a guy that I see on the field, and I'm thinking to myself, he could start.
Yeah.
So you have three guys that are, like, neck and neck competing for that. And so not only are you going to have this competition at quarterback to see who's going to win out, but those corners, they're going to push that quarterback because they're earning for that job too. So it's going to be a really – really highly contested competition.
Do you have a workout regime? I'd like to usually drop 10 or a little bit more at camp. Maybe this year I got to drop a little bit more. Do you have a regime here? Because the food in this hotel is incredible, man. I mean, I went there today and they had these burrito wraps and quesadillas and, you know, egg whites and all of the scrambles. And I'm looking at it, and you like to get your workouts in. You're a big guy. How do you look at your camp nutrition? Because camp nutrition can get out of control, man. You know, yeah, I like really to have can. My cervezas at night. You know me, I like to have a cocktail at night with the people here. How do you keep it locked in?
Yeah, well, guys, you talking about, you know, cocktail. I got to stay away from some margaritas, man. I cannot, like, the margaritas, I got to stay away. Cause
well, they have skinny margaritas, man. A little less of the fun.
Those are calorie counting. Those are packed. So really my workout regime is, you know, I always do what I do in terms of, you know, really getting in there. I'm a big afternoon lifter. I know a lot of people that are like big time morning lift guys, morning workout guys, start the day. I treat working out like a dessert. I need a dessert after a long day to really get my mind off things and relax. I know working out, people are listening to this and it's like, wow, you work out to relax. That's actually crazy. But that's just how I am. So definitely get an afternoon workout in. And as I've learned from traveling with the team for, you know, 3 years now, just because it's there, you know, on the buffet doesn't mean you have to take it. You know, just because it looks good, just because it smells good, you don't have to eat it.
You know, that's a good line for Vegas, because Vegas is the king city for buffets. Just because it's out there, you don't have to take it.
Oh, yeah, no, just take what you need and then go from there. Don't eat it just because it's there.
Thanks, Levi. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Coming up next, Vinny Bonsignor will join us. We'll get to Vinny joining us on the other side as we're live from Costa Mesa Raiders training camp. Today was a busy day. A lot of guys spoke. We had a couple of good interviews here. Coming back next, Vinny Bonsignor will join us in a few minutes. We'll get his opening thoughts of training camp. You can hear his show every morning here live from camp. And believe me, I'll get into it with Vinny, getting up here this early, staying this late through practice, and, you know, blogging and writing his column and doing everything he does. So Vinny with a quick hit on the other side, and then we'll get to Max Crosby and what he had to say at the podium. We are live from Raiders training camp in Costa Mesa, brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo, proud partner of us on the road at Costa Mesa.
I mean, AP is the right coach for any team. When you have a player's coach the way that he is, and, you know, he's understanding, he's very realistic, but also upholds and maintains the standard of ball that, you know, he believes in and that we all believe in. And, you know, it's just real easy to follow a guy that understands the big picture and has the same, you know, common mindset as what we have as players. So, you know, it's like I said, it's easy to get behind that. So we kind of, like I said last year, up until, you know, probably like the halfway point of the year, right before, you know, he became the guy, that's when we fully bought in, even before he was fully, you know, the coach. And now it's his now to run off with. So let's keep it going.
JT, back with you. That's Devontae Adams. As we continue on, we have Vinny Bonsignor here, who's had a long day, our Raider insider and also the host of our mornings here on the flagship. So what do you think? You look great. You're out here. You know this area pretty well, and the Raiders are on the road. How's it been so far?
I do. I've actually covered a training camp here before when it was the L.A. Chargers. The Rams typically are about 10 minutes tops away in Irvine, although this year that's going to be the New Orleans Saints. The Rams are over at Loyola Marymount. Mm-hmm. You're well aware of Loyola Marymount. So you have like this little sort of – it's almost like a spring training set where you've got the Rams, you've got the Raiders, you've got the Chargers, you've got the Cowboys – down in Oxnard, about, I don't know, 80 miles away up north from here. So, but seeing the team out here today, I know that there were a lot of guys were on the field early, so they were pretty jazzed about getting here. And remember, they got to transport from their team hotel over a few miles away. So, but it was a great. I thought it was a really good first day. I thought it was a productive first day. I thought it was an interesting first day.
Yeah, so did I. And I don't get a chance to watch as much practice as you do. How do you take away a good day from an average day? Because a lot of fans want to hear, well, there were a couple drops or there were a couple overthrows. Oh, God forbid there was two interceptions in the red zone. But overall, they're working on special teams. They're working on a lot of other things, putting in scheme here. So take us behind the scenes with your knowledge of how you deem a good day.
Yeah, well, first of all, what jumped off the field to me was the enthusiasm and the pace. It was a very fast-paced practice. And guys were moving around, you know, from station to station, basically, or group to group. And early on, you know, it was over by the safeties. And I think it was Gerald Alexander, the safeties coach, was setting a great tone for his group. And it was very communicative. It was very energetic. And as I was kind of glancing around all the other individual groups that were doing their thing, it felt the same for everybody. And so I think that's part of what Antonio Pierce is trying to build with this team, you know, constant motion, not a wasted minute, not a wasted second. You saw guys sprinting from one thing to the other. Even Aiden O'Connell, we talked to him about that. He, as it turns out, he races his quarterback's coach to the next station, and so it's become kind of a competitive thing. Which is what you want this type of year. You want that competitive nature. You want that competitive spirit. Everybody's competing for something, whether it's Max Crosby trying to compete with himself to get better or Amari Burney trying to compete to win a job on this roster. Max Crosby trying to get 1% better. Devontae Adams trying to, you know, get 1% better. Everybody's in competition mode right now because that's the type of mode that you're going to need to get you through 17 games at the highest level possible.
Vinny Bonsignore, I heard you through the tent here. We were listening to the live feed of Devontae, and you asked about the Netflix. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about this on and off the air. A lot of people realize that was filmed from last year.
Right.
But there could be some carryover. I mean, look, this is a different camp than you would have if you were working with Aaron Rodgers in the prime of your career. And all of a sudden he has to go back to starting with a new quarterback in Gardner Minshew and building on what he learned with Aiden. How long do you think it's going to be until these podium sessions for Devontae and the quarterbacks aren't about, well, how was your day? You got someone chasing you. Devontae from Netflix, because these are really important questions you ask day one.
Yeah, and you have to. And you know, I've had conversations with Devontae and, you know, one of his mentors, somebody that he looks up to, is Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. What Michael Jordan, you know, taught him is don't be afraid to speak up. Whatever you're feeling, whether it's going to ruffle feathers, hurt feeling, whatever the case, be honest. And, you know, I think he's at a point in his life and his career where he's going to be honest. And what we saw in Netflix represented his mindset at a particular time of last season. And it was before Josh McDaniels got fired. It was before Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, got benched. That represented his feeling. And I know Devontae is a guy that doesn't live with regret. What he says is what he feels. And so he's going to be honest about that. But I think the point that his agents have tried to make, Devontae did today, and we asked him about that, is that just because that's how he felt then doesn't mean that's how he feels now. And he's going to be honest about his feelings now. He's in a really good place with this team, with his organization, with the quarterback situation, as unsettled as it might be, his future here, the future prospects of the Raiders, all of that, he's in a good place. I think the key to it all, though, is making sure he stays in a good place.
Yeah, that's key.
Because as he said, he doesn't go into any kind of a season, you know, thinking bad things might happen. And certainly that's his mindset to have. But there are no guarantees that seven games into the season, maybe there's some feelings that are bubbling up that were reminiscent of what he was feeling seven games into last season.
Right.
And the way the Raiders avoid that is by winning football games. And that's really what it's going to boil down to, what it's going to come down to. I know Devontae has talked about it's got to look a certain way as well. I think he knows that there's ways to win games that don't look the right way, and that's not satisfying. And you know that it's going to cost you at some point if that's how you're going to continue to try to win football games. But between winning games and doing it the right way, the Raider, then I think you can avoid all of those things. But the bottom line is he's going to express his true feelings no matter what, where, how, he, like he said yesterday or like he said today. That's how the cookie crumbled last year. You got to make sure that the cookie crumble doesn't crumble in that way this year.
Wrapping it up with Vinny Bonsignore. We'll get him out here on this. I have a clock in my head when I do radio, when I do a podcast. I know when I need to get out, and I know sense of urgency. And when just being here today, knowing that there's only 11 practices and one's down, so there's 10, right?
Yeah.
We got a couple back in Vegas, preseason. I feel that there's a bigger sense of urgency today. Talk to Coach Pierce for a second, looking around, and I'm saying there's not a lot of time because I already feel like one down, 10 more to go, and I want to wrap it up with Brock Bowers because you and I both agree this system for him has got to work quickly. This can't be week 6, week 11. Okay, he found it in week 12 and there's 5 games left. What sense do you have that the priority to get Brock Bowers going is actually going to happen?
Yeah, well, and in Brock Bowers, you're talking about a football savant. He's going to pick it up. Mm-hmm. I have no worries about that. And I think the Raiders understand the type of weapon that they have in him and in Michael Mayer. And so I think they're going to hit the ground running. I think that's going to be a big focal point in this offense. I think they're going to be intentional. It's going to be emphasized to get these two guys the ball. It was borderline derelict of of responsibility last year, the lack of usage that Michael Mayer got. I felt like they
completely
made a mistake on that. It is what it is. But I think they understand that they can't afford to have that happen, not only with Michael or with Brock Bowers. And we saw today, there were times where there were three tight end sets where Harrison Bryant was lined up in the backfield as the lead blocker or doing some certain things. They moved Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer around when they were in the red zone working. By the way, the two quarterbacks looked sharp.
They did,
It's worth pointing out because they didn't look all that sharp at times during OTAs and minicamp. It's fair to say that they look good today, and I think those tight ends were a big part of what they were doing today, and it was really interesting to see all the various ways they're getting those guys the ball. And I think that's going to be a focal point of this offense. And I think Raider fans, you know, if you watched Hard Knocks with the Giants, if the Giants had traded back, or there was a scenario, a trade scenario that existed that they were talking about, and then they were going to ultimately draft Brock Bowers. That tells you something. You know what else tells you something? Sean McVay tried to trade up, not once, but twice to get Brock Bowers. So for anyone who, you know, oh, why do you draft another tight end? But I don't care. If Sean McVay is signing off on the kid, and all you really have to do is watch the tape and understand why.
Forget about it. But yes, you're right, Sean McVay.
Exactly. All right. He wants to add him to Cooper Kupp Puka Nacua. With all the talent that they have, and he's like, yeah, I need that guy, then never, ever question the Raiders drafting Brock Bowers.
I know your proud partners help you get out here. Let's hit on them before you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Dos Catas Tequila, want to say hello to them. TheLendingStore.com as well. They've all been great partners with us, helping us get out here. Like you said, we're here 7 to 10 a.m. every day during training camp. It was fun kicking it off today. We're back at it tomorrow talking about it. So Dos Catas Tequila, The Lending Store, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Vinny. Appreciate you coming on with you. There he is, Vinny Bonsignor, who knows how to put down a headset lightly, unlike football players, as he's a true radio pro here right now. And we're very fortunate to have Vinny. He'll join us throughout camp, and he'll join us every week as our insider and support his proud partners. So I'm excited to get back, everybody, and appreciate today. Today was kind of a wild day. We're playing all the podium sound. We're doing what we do here as a flagship station. And I was on the YouTube special, which is airing now over at Raiders YouTube. You'll be able to see all your favorite players from Mad Max, Devontae. You'll be able to see me on there with Eric Allen. So that was a lot of fun today on top of this. But the reason we're doing our summer series is because of the top games of all time in Raider history. And today, I think, is a really good one. So if you're a Raider fan, if you're a Raider legend, you're a Raider caller legend, and you know the history of the Raiders, start dialing now because I'm up against it at the top of the hour, 702-365-9200. Let's get to our next great game.
We now present the Raiders' top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
Fires for Bolitnikoff. He is going to get inside the bar. Touchdown!
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders' top 10 games of all time begins now. Number 8.
All right, here we are at number 8 as we get to the all-time greatest games in Raider history. And at number 8, I can't wait for this, the Heidi game. The Heidi game comes in at number 8, November 17th, 1968. The game featured two of the American Football League's marquee teams and a combined 10 future Pro Football Hall of Famers. Ironically, this must-see meeting was voted the 10th most memorable NFL game of the century. not because of the game itself, but because of its conclusion, because it was not seen, at least by millions of television viewers. With 65 seconds remaining in the 1968 Jets-Raiders game, the Jets kicked a field goal to take a 32-29 lead. The Raiders returned the ensuing kickoff to their 23-yard line. NBC, the network televising the game, then went to commercial, but never returned to the game. NBC switched to the movie Heidi with 65 seconds left in the game. It was 7 p.m. on the East Coast. And as the commercial break concluded, NBC thought that the children's movie Heidi at 7 was more important than the end of an NFL game. NBC broadcast operations supervisor Dick Klein followed the network's predetermined plan and switched to Heidi. The Raiders scored 2 touchdowns in a 9-second span and held on to win the game that was voted the most memorable regular season game in NFL history by a select group of media in 1997 in a poll taken in conjunction with the NFL's 10,000th regular season game. The game changed the way television networks broadcast football games, and for Raider fans, it became the first in a series of legendary come-from-behind victories for which Oakland teams of that era would be forever known. We take a look back at the Heidi game as the Jets, with the field goal, take the lead.
And now it was all even, 29-29. With less than 4 minutes remaining, it was a whole new ball game. But Namath and Maynard still worked on Atkinson. But more importantly, they were working on the clock. The Jets used up 3 minutes of time before Jim Turner set up for a field goal. The Jets led again, 32-29, with 1 minute and 5 seconds remaining.
So that's what happened there, the countdown of the game as the Jets go up 32-29. Now think of that today as we talk about the modern era of the NFL. The NFL would never leave a game like that. But back then, a children's movie, Sunday night, East Coast, families after a long weekend. It's the holiday season, right? It's the week before Thanksgiving. You want the kids to, you know, settle down and watch a movie. And that's what the TV executives thought. But the Mad Bomber thought differently, finding Charlie Smith.
Harmonica to Charlie Smith. Smith is hitting and he scores! What a game! This crowd has gone absolutely berserk. Twice the Raiders have looked beaten, and rookie Charlie Smith, who's put on quite a show, has just grabbed this one. And now Oakland has the lead 35-32 with 42 seconds. But the Jets still have Namath coming back.
Yes, yeah, so the extra point was good, 36-32. So you found out Charlie Smith is a rookie, and the greatest player, the most expensive player in AFL history is Joe Namath, as Joe Namath was supposed to come back on the field, but before that, this happened.
The Jets receive. The last two times the Jets have had the ball, they've marched right down for scores on Namath's passing. Namath 17 for 35 today, 342 yards. LaMonica is 20 for 32 and 251 yards. They squibbed this one to prevent a run back. Earl Christie fumbling it around. He fumbles the ball. Has it for a touchdown. Oakland has scored 2 touchdowns in 9 seconds.
The legendary Kurt Gowdy on the call. The Raiders score 2 touchdowns in 9 seconds in the Heidi game. Again, this was not on television at this time. They switched over, even though Kurt Gowdy was still doing the play-by-play of the game, obviously, but it did not air on television. So that fumble recovery for a touchdown iced the game. Here's the final call of it on NBC.
This one's about all over, 15 seconds. We'll have a quick sign-off here. We hope you enjoyed the game. We'll be in San Diego next Sunday, 4 o'clock Eastern time, with the Jets against San Diego. This is Kurt Gowdy, and a great job today by L.D. Rogatis. And that's it, the final score, Oakland 43, New York 32.
final call of that game. Now, if you picked up on this, Kirk Gowdy told you that the Jets were going to San Diego. This was, we're talking about a game that took place in 1968. The Jets were not flying home. The Jets were going to San Diego after this. And the league didn't have the money to fly teams back home and fly them out. So the Heidi game, why it was so historical, was the Jets had to live with that loss in San Diego the following week here. Here's some very rare sound that we were able to get from Dick Klein, who was the NBC director who dumped out of the Raider game.
Then the Jets' Jim Turner kicked a 26-yard field goal, and the Jets had the lead with 1 minute, 5 seconds left.
At 7 p.m., NBC had scheduled a kids' movie named Heidi.
It was determined to air Heidi at 7 o'clock, and if football wasn't over, we would still go to Heidi at 7 o'clock.
NBC executives, wishing to stay with the game, failed in their frantic efforts to contact the broadcast center. Thousands of concerned viewers had flooded the phone lines and blown out the switchboard.
I thought, well, I have not been given any countermanding order, so I've got to do what we agreed to do.
Okay, so remember that. That's also a time in history in 1968 where there was no, okay, we're going to have the game locally on here in Oakland, but black it out nationally. We're talking about only the Raider fans who are at the Coliseum at this time. So we're talking millions of people missed the end of one of the most famous games of all time. And then there were a couple of big newsmen at that time. You might recall Walter Cronkite. Well, the other on NBC was the famed David Brinkley, broadcast Hall of Famer. And the next day, he went on the air for NBC and apologized.
Last night, somebody in the vast reaches of the NBC network didn't get the word, as in the Army. The result was that football fans by the thousands were roused to a cold fury, and some probably haven't cooled down yet. Well, here is the last minute, as it would have been seen last night if somebody at NBC had got the word.
Amazing. Just amazing. I'm getting texts from a couple of my buddies now who are listening and can't believe we're doing this and we have this here. So this is our eighth greatest game in the history of the Raiders, according to me, and the JT the Brick Show, and it's an open list, and it'll live, and we'll debate it. But the Heidi game and the significance that it had, not only with the Raiders. So if you want to talk about a great game and great finish, okay, this is on the Mount Rushmore. If you want to talk about one of the most famous games of all time, not Raider games, just NFL history, it's on the Mount Rushmore. So with all of that coming through, these are some of the most important games ever played in and happened in Raider history. Your thoughts? I mean, there weren't a lot of people who were alive at that time. Again, I was a young boy. I don't remember it, obviously, but I love what Kirk Gowdy said, that next week we're going at 4 o'clock to San Diego for the Chargers to take on the Jets. Imagine what Joe Namath felt when he never got the chance to touch the football after the kickoff was fumbled and the Raiders won the Heidi game. That's Joe Namath getting the ball back with time left on the clock. That's the same thing as Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes getting the ball. He was never able to touch it. As Charlie Smith scored the touchdown, then the fumble recovery for a touchdown blew the game wide open, and the Raiders win 43-32 in our summer series of the 10 greatest Raider games of all time. That comes in November 17th, 1968. Oakland Raiders 43, New York Jets 32, the Heidi game, which changed broadcast television. So that's a little history lesson for you if you're a Raider fan out there and you love that before. My buddy just texted, I've never heard any of this before. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, it is incredible because it's part of the history of the league and the Raiders. That's why we're counting down these games. We have Ghosts to the Post, right? You think of the Heidi game. We don't have a name for that comeback victory for the Raiders when they knocked the Chargers out, and we're still looking for a name for that. 702-365-9200 is the number. I got about, we're going to take Raider 66 first. I love how Raider 66 waits until we get to the game and doesn't come in too early. I'm sure you got something on that one, my friend. Go ahead.
Oh, my God, yes. That talk about checking all the boxes. I mean, that game was something. I mean, it was historical. The networks, as you said, the people were calling in because the game wasn't on, flooded the phone lines so the executives couldn't get through to tell them to keep running the football game. So after that game, they have something called the Heidi phones that are on a different network so that executives could now get through to the programming department and not have that ever happen again. But that that game also put a name, Preston Riddle-Huber, is a name that is now in Raiders lore. He is the guy that recovered the fumbled kickoff and scored the touchdown that basically put it out of reach for the Jets. But yeah, that's one game, and that again is why I became a Raider fan, is because of games like that. I mean, the fantastic finishes just over and over. It seemed like every week you're waiting for something miraculous to happen, and that's what the younger generation that hasn't gotten to see the Raiders do that yet needs to understand. This is what made the Raiders legendary, what made them iconic, and what made them a special must-watch TV. And we're looking for that, again, to resurrect with AP. AP has got the mindset, the thought process of getting them back to that type of football, tough, swagger football, never give up. But, the Heidi game, I just had to call on this one, JT. That is one of my favorites. And it will go down in history. And thank you so much for reliving that. And Kirk Gowdy's just awesome.
Yeah, I'm happy you enjoyed it. And we know a lot of all in are enjoying it because I'm seeing it on social media. I appreciate that. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Max Crosby at the podium. Also, the Raiders on YouTube have their special today, led by Amber Theo Harris and the great Eric Allen. They had everybody today. Come on over, so you can't miss that on Raiders social media. So a little bit of Mad Max, and then we'll preview Q, who's coming up, and give Q a lot of credit for setting this up today. I don't know what time he got out here, 6 in the morning, for all of our in-depth team coverage of Raiders training camp live from Costa Mesa.
Yeah, just how comfortable they are with the system now. Year 3 with Patrick Graham, the communication, the continuity, the ability to play with one another, feel one another. I mean, it was a really, really good spring for our defense. They were gelling well. Add Christian in there, it was like he was with us the last couple years. So they got to keep picking it up. It is the strength of our team. I mean, there's no need to lie about it. I mean, they're really good, and they got to be good this year.
All right, that's Antonio Pierce. JT, back with you as we wrap it up. We have a few moments left before Q comes up, and I just wanted to play a few minutes of Max Crosby on this show, our good friend. I've been with him today. He's going to come on here later in the week. This is a little bit of Max Crosby recently at the podium.
Good to see
you. Max, as one of the team leaders, having the team come out here to California, what's the benefits of being out here as a group and you as a team leader getting this thing together and bonded and everything?
Yeah, it's just about being around each other. We have nothing else to do. You know, AP said it very loud and clear. Like, if you don't want to be here, if you got something else more important when you're out here, you just go to Telesco and, you know, ask for your release. You know, we're here to get better, get closer, and just focus on improving every day.
For you, are you just as excited for this camp as you were your first?
Oh, yeah. You know, every year is different, but my excitement never changes. You know, for me, like I said, a lot of people say they like it, they love it, but I live it. You know, I live it every single day. It's not like, oh, it's time now because it's camp. It's like, no, we do this all year round. It's always time. It's just another part of the process, and I'm ready to keep getting better and improve and be a better, you know, the best version of myself so far.
In mind, what can you pinpoint one or two things that you're working on to get better at?
You know, it's everything across the board. There's always room for improvement, from the run game to pass game to the mental side of it, to the physical side. There's always room for improvement, from hand placement to pass rush to, you know, speed to power, things like that. So for me, you know, my whole motto for this offseason was refine and elevate. So refining everything I do across the board, from workouts, meal prep, pass rush, run game, and find another way to elevate. And that's what I've been doing since January 22nd. So we started earlier training this year. We took less time off. Meal prep is even more dialed in. There's just every day it's finding that 1% of the 1%. That's what it is for me. I want to be, like I said a million times, I want to be the best in the world at what I do and win football games. And that's all that matters.
Was that one of the reasons you at that camp with the rest of the players?
You know, it's a part of it. You know, I've been doing that for years now, but I took a bigger role in it. Vaughn came to me, wanted me to be a big part in moving forward and, you know, carrying the thing on. So for me, it's what I do. I live it. You know, I could talk football all day. So having the guys, you know, coming out of the combine, talking about, you know, I'm one of the guys that they watch. Hearing about other guys around the league saying they want to play like me. That's what it's all about. You know, that's what greatness, that's what a legacy is about, is having, you know, inspiring others around you. So every time I get a chance to be around the other guys and share some wisdom and knowledge, I'm going to do it every time.
On the flip side, how has that worked out with Thayer Munford? Because he said he's been learning a lot from going up against you.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I told him I'm coming for him every day. You know, he knows what it is. Jermaine had to work, you know, do it every day too. And every guy before that. So he knows what I'm doing. He knows what type of energy and time I'm on. So he's got no choice. You know, he's going to get better regardless, no matter what. If he wins a rep, that's the only way you get better, is by really competing. It's not, you know, playing buddy-buddy and, you know, things like that. When we're on the field, we're out there to compete and get better. So they know what they're going to get from me. And, you know, Thayer, he already knows what's coming for him every day. And I'm looking forward to that, you know, that matchup, and everybody else as well.
Are the high expectations of this line more of a challenge than anything?
I mean, that's just noise. You know what I mean? It's sometimes we're Super Bowl contenders in the preseason. Sometimes we're expected to go 6-11, but it's really all irrelevant. You know, at the end of the day, it's just noise. And we really could care less. At the end of the day, we got to go out there and win. And that's all that matters.
You said a few times your big goal is to become the best in the world. For you, is that something, is a certain thing you have to accomplish for you to feel like you are that, or is it more of an internal thing?
You know, for me, it's everything across the board. You know, for me, I feel like every single year I've gotten better. I've taken another big step forward. And, you know, for me, that's the only thing that's on my mind, is getting better. So, it's not anything specific. You know, for me, I feel like that's always going to be my mentality regardless until I'm done. So even in when I win Defensive Player of the Year, and when I win MVP or whatever, when we win Super Bowls, I feel like there's, you know, my mindset, there's always, okay, what's next? What's more I can do? So that's how I hold myself to that standard. I speak loudly and proudly about it, because I have into it and pour into it and sacrifice on a daily basis. So really all that matters to me is being the best version of myself. And that's why I always say potential is limitless. You know, for me, I know I've made it this far. I was a one-star recruit or two-star recruit, one offer, and I've made it this far. So people can say whatever they want. At the end of the day, nobody expected me to be here. The only person that believed me at that time was myself. So I know I'm not the best version of myself, and that's what keeps me going.
Tay said that he would like the next Netflix to be corners, but how much would you like it to be defensive ends?
Yeah, you know, I find it entertaining. You know, for me, at the end of the day, I love sports, and that's literally all I do. You know, it's all I do, all I watch. So yeah, I feel like corners would definitely be entertaining, DNs as well. But yeah, every year, it's always entertaining seeing the behind the scenes stuff.
All right, so that was a little bit of Max Crosby. I got to get him a jersey called Dump Button. That's on me. Thank God Bobby understands. I know you are. When Max is – well, I should be on it because I know Max well. And Max is good after you can edit it, but I love his energy there. So, wow. So a couple big takeaways today. Today was a really good day. First day at camp, Raiders got a set up. We're in the media section here, and we got a chance. I got a chance to see a little bit of practice, more than I usually do, before we had a hit the YouTube channel, and then get on the radio. All the big guns went to the podium today. You had Max, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, Davante Adams. We want to thank Amir Abdullah, who came on to join us. We'll get players the rest of the week, so I'll broadcast for him here. I don't even know what day it is. All right, we got Thursday, Friday broadcast there. Yes, thank you, Bobby. And then I'll head back to host my shows for Mad Dog on Sunday, Monday, and then back here again next week. Q's going to be here the entire time. He's got it all set up, along with Vinny and the team that is here and set. Costa Mesa, good to be here. Haven't seen a lot of it yet, but I lived in Southern California for 18 years, from San Diego to the Valley. So it's good to be back. I'm going to go see an old Raider friend of mine. Old great mentor of mine today on the water in Newport Beach. Have a couple of Modelos, a couple of cervezas. I want to thank all of our partners here, especially Remy Martin, Team Up for Excellence. The Remy Martin cocktail, whatever you want to make with a Remy Martin cocktail, is outstanding. Remy Cointreau is how you make the elite tequila margarita that you strive for. I have so many other partners we need to thank. The takes too long to do it. So we'll do more of them tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who set us up today. Thanks to Bobby, who put the show together, and the Raiders for getting us set up. If you miss any portion of the show, lvsportsnetwork.com. Check out the new app, the new site, and I think you'll like that very much. Q Myers has a big show. He's on deck. He was real busy today at the podium at practice. Always listen. And I will see you back here tomorrow from Costa Mesa, noon to 2 on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.